Can we go back to how you mentioned when Ion invited Ezekiel?
Jenny's an expert on that. She's the one who followed along in the Bible. He talked for like half an hour, and Jenny noticed he was doing the whole Ezekiel chapters, chapter and verse.
What took place? Was Ezekiel coming through?
So we were talking, doing the Bible, and I don't remember how Ezekiel came up, but he comes up, and then Ezekiel took over and talked for a long time.
It was so hilarious because Bob kept trying to cut him off.
Yeah,
and interrupt.
I was interviewing him. And I got mad at him. I said, "This is ridiculous. Tell us what's going on now." And he was in this old-fashioned language. I said, "You're just like a fucking homeless guy on the subway in New York City who just rants and doesn't care about the person listening." I'd say that, and he'd quote another verse at me. He'd throw another verse at me. And he went on and on and on. And at the end, I was so rude to Ezekiel, Ion said that he would never come back again. And so later we would have questions about Ezekiel, and we would not get any answers because I had driven Ezekiel away.
Jeez, Bob.
It was pretty disconcerting, actually, at the time. I remember being really irritated. And finally it occurred to me, Bob's like, "Why don't you say something else? Why don't you talk about the fluent or something like that?" Bob got all hacked out.
Are you saying that you yelled at me?
I did, because I said, "Bob, he can only speak the words of the Lord. He could only speak the prophetic utterance that he was commissioned to speak. He wouldn't have an opinion. A prophet would not have an opinion. A prophet would only speak."
Yeah. We didn't know that he was quoting the Bible till it was over.
Well, I knew because I recognized the scriptures.
But you didn't speak.
Yeah.
I don't think you spoke up. Until
no.
It was over, I remember being impressed. Wow, he did the whole Ezekiel. That's all he knew, is what was in the Bible.
Right, it was his commission, so to speak.
Exactly.
Let me just say that I remember that Greg and I asked, could we talk to Ezekiel? And the reason why is Ion kept saying that Ezekiel was actually better than Revelations. Ion just kept saying, "Well, there's actually more cool stuff in Ezekiel than there is in Revelations." We didn't know it was Ezekiel 1:22, the terrible crystal, which ended up being the eye cell and the patent. We didn't know that's what it was, and Ion just kept saying, "There's really cool stuff in there." So Greg and I come up with the great, you know, Ionet idea. Let's talk to Ezekiel. We talk to Marshall McLuhan. So we asked, and Ion's like, "Sure." And the next thing you know, here comes ripping out. Well, Bob was so irritated. And then, months later, when we do get down to the terrible crystal, we want to ask Ezekiel about it. Ion's like, "Nope, nope, nope. Nope, not happening. Bob ruined it."
Yeah, and he would single me out. Bob drove him away, and he's not coming back.
He's not coming back ever, Bob, ever.
I killed Ezekiel.
So hilarious, Bob.
So,
oh, my God.
Let's see if we can find it. Maybe I could play it. That would be fun to hear it again. Hear me yelling at him. Bob beats down Ezekiel.
Bob beats down.
Beats him back.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
You could pick up a certain tone or accent, or he was speaking English, but you could tell it was
old. Well, he literally was saying the scriptures. That would make sense, because that's his work. That's like, you know, I remember it was pretty early on in the rewrites, Bob, if you're looking through your notes.
It's December 1st. It's rewrite number 6. That's real early. Rewrite number 6. Right, so here it is.
Y'all do want to lay out Ezekiel? Is that what we understand?
That's what we understand. That's what I understand. Yes, sir.
Brian, you want to know about Ezekiel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, then let's just lay it out, okay? First of all, Ezekiel was commissioned, okay? And this then starts dealing with Judah and the judgment on Judah. Then that trickles down into the judgment of the Gentiles. And then it falls at the end of the story with a big macrochasm, Greggy, would be the restoration of Israel. All right. First of all, Ezekiel sees the glory. That starts in about 1:1, moving up to about 2:1. Then you got Ezekiel's commissioned to the work. And that's not been laid out yet, but it will be. Then moving on into four, you've got the signs, the messages, the visions, the parables of the judgment. Then you move all the way up to 25. That's a big portion of the program. You get the judgment on the surrounding nations, those that would be up again, Judah, in the siege. All right, then you move up to 33, and you get the return of Israel to the Lord. Then you move up to 40, and then you get the restoration of Israel in the kingdom. This is broken down into, you guessed it, three portions. Before the siege, during the siege, and after the siege. And then that runs all the way down through chapter 1 through about 25. It tells you all about Judah's fall. Then at 25 to 33, it starts up and it tells you all about Judah's foes. And then from 33 to about 48, 35, goes through Judah's future. Now, all this is taking place in, you guessed it, Babylon. Very interesting. Okay, now, for an outline, because we want to go at it this way, and then we'll pinpoint it, and you can actually talk to Ezekiel and ask questions regarding it any way you want to. But, see, you're going to get into some of the Nebuchadnezzar and then the whole Egypt business. There's a lot of baggage that Ezekiel's having to deal with. Okay, first, Ezekiel sees the glory of God. That's broken down in the time of the vision, the four living creatures, the four wheels. That's in 1:15 through 21. Then you can find out about the firmament and then the appearance of man, which is in chapter 1, 26 through 28. Then Ezekiel is commissioned to the Word of God. Ezekiel is sent to Israel, then as Ezekiel is instructed about his ministry. Now that's in chapter 3, verses 4 through 27. Now that was in the first section. Now the second, or the judgment of Judah, that would be the four signs of the coming judgment. Now, first part of that would be sign of the tile, sign of Ezekiel's lying on his side, sign of the defiled bread, sign of the razor and hair, the explanation of the signs. Then you have the two messages of coming judgment, starting at about chapter 6. And that would be the destruction because of idolatry. And that would be the destruction of the high places, the salvation of the remnant, and then the desolation of the land. Then it breaks down into that two parts of the coming judgment. It's the description of the Babylonian conquest. That's in chapter 7, 1 through 27. All right, now the four-part vision of the coming judgment, that starts in chapter 8. You got the vision of the glory of God, the vision of abomination. There he is.
Hello, everybody.
Hey.
I was so bored with these eco stuff, I Skyped James.
I'm here.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hey,
we're boring Bob
you,
with Ezekiel.
Who's here?
Brian.
Here. Brian.
Jenny.
And Greg.
Carolyn. Carolyn.
All right, we're just running through the outline. Bob will give you all the rules and the regulations in a little bit. The four-part vision of the coming judgment, then you got the vision of the glory of God, the vision of the abominations in the temple, the image of jealousy, the paintings on the wall, the weeping for Tammuz, the sun worship, then you got the vision of the slaying in Jerusalem, you got a call to the six men, that's in chapter 9, 1 through 3, the command to slay the wicked, the weeping of Ezekiel. Then you go into the departure of the glory of God to the threshold, which is chapter 10, 1 through 8. Then you got the vision of the wheels and cherubim, 10, 9 through 22. This is getting to your part, Brian. The vision of the 25 wicked rulers, the promise of the restoration of the remnant, the departure of the glory of God from the Mount of Olives in chapter 11, 22 through 25. Then you go into the signs, the parables, and the messages of judgment, starting in about chapter 12 through about the middle of chapter 24. The sign of stuff, baggage, for removing. Even lays it out that way. The sign of stuff, or baggage, for removing.
Yeah, baggage, that's right.
The sign of trembling, the message against the false prophets, the judgment upon the false prophets, the judgment upon false prophecies, prophetesses. Then you got the message against the elders, the idolatry of the elders, Jerusalem to be destroyed in 14, 12 through 23, the parable of the vine tree, the parable of the Israel's marriage, God has mercy on Israel, Israel rejects God, God punishes Israel. God
Fine. I just want to ask, Ginny, is this familiar titles? Do you know this, or is this all new, or is it in the King James?
No. This is new. This is not new. This is
these
normal.
These are standard divisions, standard exegesis.
It is, well, I would say standard in the sense that it's standardly, that's right.
Divided. Okay. Yep. He's laying out the, like we did.
Right.
Yeah, okay. This is, all right.
Yeah.
The
but it parallels
parable.
Revelation. Go ahead.
It's parallel to Revelation.
Of Israel, parable of Israel's marriage. God has mercy on Israel. God, Israel rejects God. God punishes Israel. God remembers his covenant, 1660 through 63. The parable of the two eagles might be significant, 17:1 through 24. Then the message of personal judgment for personal sin, 18:1 through 32. The lament for the princess of Israel, 19:1 through 19. The parable of the withering vine, the message of judgment on Jerusalem, the review of God's past dealing with Israel, how he used to handle it back pre-fall. That's in chapter 21 through 32. In Egypt, in the wilderness, in Canaan, in Ezekiel's time. The message of God's future restoration of Israel. The signs of the judgment on Jerusalem. That's in verse 20, chapter 20 through about the middle of 21. The sign of the forest fire. The sign of the drawn sword. The sign of the double stroke of the sword. The message of judgment on Jerusalem. The parables of judgment on Jerusalem. About 23. Parable of the two sisters, the parable of the boiling pot, 24:1 through 14, the sign through the death of Ezekiel's wife. Now you go into the judgment of the Gentiles. Well, you got the judgment of Ammon, the judgment of Moab, Edom, Philistia, Tyrus, the destruction of Tyrus, the lament over Tyrus, the fall of the prince of Tyrus. Then you got the judgment of Zidon.
Hi, on. This is all in the Bible. Why run through this inventory? This is, I could look up the King James and they'll tell me all these words. Why are you doing this? This is wasting time, or what's the relevance of it? It's my opinion. Why don't we just talk about Ezekiel and bring Ezekiel in and ask him what he thinks.
Well, first of all, it was an asking of Brian. It's definitely an asking of mine. Ezekiel is the prophet that's most closely aligned with John the Revelator.
Okay, I won't ask you how, but you can do that later. But the point is, you want to hear it repeated when it's right there in your Bible, the outline. You know, the outline, you can just look at the Bible. He's just reciting it. Let's get.
I thought we were going to talk to Ezekiel and find out how he got urged into writing what he wrote. And, and if it's related to Revelations, then pointing that out.
Yeah, I don't see the point in listening, but I can look up anyways. Let's get Ezekiel's view on whether the King James got it right or these categories are right. Ion, why are you listing this stuff? Just tell us why you wanted to do it.
We were asked.
No, we wanted to speak to Ezekiel.
That's what Vinny said. Let's talk to Ezekiel. So bring him on.
This is absolutely incredible. Look at Ion just spewing off the whole goddamn book.
I'm impressed. I was impressed then. I mean, I think it's awesome.
I'm more impressed this time than back then. I'm actually more interested.
Every single one of the things that I am saying has so many layers to it. I'm listening to myself today. I'm hearing myself then. And yeah. I'm noticing that I'm getting all these hits. Like I'm going, And what I think I'm realizing then is we've just gotten to the point where we're understanding that all these stories are a physical and non-physical event. And so these judgments that Ion's talking about, they have chemical constituents to them. And they have implications for the entire environment. So, you know, the judgment of Haman could actually be tied to an earthquake or something that we have yet to experience. Because Ion's saying all this stuff, and he's putting it in sequential order. What?
Yeah, I've been on the drops for 1 week in this session. It's December 1st.
Wow.
I started the drops on November 1st.
Wow.
I know nothing about, I haven't really understood what the revelations is. I went through it and did it and recorded it. It's not till we get into the March, April, May, June of 2011 that I start to realize the magnitude of what the hell's going on. So knowing all that now, I'm actually very interested in what Ezekiel's saying this time.
I was thinking about your initial indifference on cash flow when the drops were being talked about, and then I think it was probably July of 2011 after Matthew Hurtado did that big testimonial show, you kind of started to change a little bit, and you're like, holy shit.
Well, I was being affected myself by the drops.
Yeah, so Madeline, all these things that Ion is laying out are actual events that are precipitated by the new environment and definitely the RNA drops. And I think I'm starting to figure that out. If not, actually mentally, I'm thinking I'm sensing it intuitively. So anyway.
Okay, so we're going to bring in Ezekiel. We're generally, okay, nice list there. Good, pretty impressive, Ion. Let's bring in Ezekiel. So Ginny's defending the list. Someone says, why? And I think you're going to say, why? It's okay, Ion does this.
Well, I think the thing of it is that, so let's just back up. Take it out of Ezekiel. Let's just put it in Bob. Ezekiel's writing from a reference point. Bob, just like you wrote from a reference point in your chart. Okay. So let's say that you weren't available and we were asking Ion to talk to you. Well, how important is it to you that we would know, first of all, the work that you would already preface by laying out in your chart?
I'd have you just look at the chart. I wouldn't read the chart. Ion's just reading what's in the Bible.
But, Bob, you've never done that with me.
Well, it's not the same guy.
Just so you can stand corrected, when you get on the phone with me and you say, look up my chart and let me tell you what I meant when I wrote this, this, and this.
Yeah.
Okay, and so all I'm saying...
I don't list off all the details. I give you the broad outline. You have that on tape. I didn't even go... I've never actually talked about the particular parts of the chart. I just told you about
You have with me.
And the general level.
Chart.
I don't.
Right, okay, so all Ion is doing is summarizing the general levels. He's not going into the particulars. All he's doing is he's just reading Ezekiel's chart.
Right, and...
I don't think that's wrong.
I don't need to read the chart to somebody if they're looking at it.
Okay, then you
can... We can look at the Bible and see these names.
Great. Pick a section.
All right, get Ezekiel in. Ezekiel, what would you like us to look at first?
Your lives.
My life, okay.
Oh.
All right. Good. We don't have to even read the scripture. I just got a new YouTube up. You want to see it? It's a guy interviewing me, going to walk around in Maui. Going to be posted on Dukes. You want to see that, Ezekiel?
No.
Is that my life?
We're not interested in your outline.
That wasn't an outline. That was an actual footage of me walking on my daily path. That's what's the new exclusive. Now, can you question, is that me? Is that my life?
It's up to you. What do you mean, is it your life? Do you not know your life?
No, yeah, I know my life.
You came?
Are you here to play games? Look, you say you want to know about my life. I said the video. Is that my life?
Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning unto me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand.
Well, we here in the rhetorical school would ask you, who's your audience for that statement, and how do you expect them to respond, and what effect are you saying? Since you can't affect anybody else, what's the point of saying that?
Israel. We speak prophetically for Israel.
For Israel, which is a what? A country?
The transubstantiated fallen man.
Mm. Ah, that's everybody then.
Mm-hmm.
All that live in the Israel. So that supports
all
the interpretation.
All the fallen.
That supports the interpretation. You know, to jokingly say Israel is Israel. Everybody who's in the is in the real world is an Israeli. It's not geographic. So, yeah, you're addressing everybody's fallen who's stuck in the isness of real. That's the real meaning. Very good point. We'll put that up in dupes. That Israel is not the country. It's the condition of those that believe they're in Israel. Real is, right? That's what you're talking about, right, if you're that general.
Yes.
You get that, James? First insight. You only hear 5 minutes. Bob's giving you a good one. Never been heard before. Israel. All those are stuck in the Israel world.
Well, Bob, actually, the thing of it is you keep saying it's never been heard before, but really, this stuff is recited all the time in the church. So,
the idea that you could interpret Israel as Israel, that's a joke, that's around. But I don't think we've ever had validation of it from Ezekiel. But that's what I'm claiming. It's the first time we've ever had that notion of the meaning of Israel could be Israel. I'm taking Ezekiel to mean that, because he's speaking to everybody who's fallen, not just Israelis.
Okay.
So that's what I meant. If you can handle that, great.
Okay. Okay, good. All right, fine. Go ahead.
Okay, so you're addressing the general, Ezekiel. What is, how come there's even a general that you're addressing?
For the fall of such a day as it is written, that Israel will come to the stage or the place of judgment to see its separation from its master.
You're commenting on what was written.
Is.
Yeah, is written, and you're adding to it.
No, we aren't.
No, because it says that clearly in the Bible. I mean, that's not what
says
I'm
what, Jenny?
Said.
Is, says, oh, he's saying he's calling. I'm asking.
God made you a watchman. Are you not a watcher, Bob?
No, but he's addressing everybody. I'm talking about who he's addressing. He's addressing Israel, this general collective of fallen men. And
he said, son of man. No, hold on. He said, son of man, I have made you a watchman. And he was answering your question, Bob. Are you?
Well, that was one way to take it, but I'll double check that. Who are you? You did say Israel. I have to go back and hear whether he said the son of man before. When I asked him who's addressing, he said Israel. I don't know if that was before the son of man statement or after. Anybody remember?
Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel.
Right. Now, is that addressed to who? Who is that addressed to,
sir?
Oh, okay. So, Ginny's right. That's addressed to me in particular. I like to have someone else addressed to see what you say to them, like address Brian.
What's the, you mentioned the house of Israel. What's the house?
The temple.
The temple you knew?
Yes.
You were there. Okay, so you're speaking from that temple. A lot of new temples have been built since then.
Well, when he says that, what we just laid out was that Israel is all of the fallen you know.
Humanity, yeah.
All of humanity, and it's the house of humanity. Then house is the temple of all humanity. So what would be the temple of all humanity? What would
where the throne is set?
Where the throne is what?
Set.
S-E-T.
Set. Oh.
And that could be spelled T-H-R-O-W-N. We had someone who wrote in today in Cashflow. Good pun on that. T-H-R-O-W-N. The throne. Ezekiel, can you pun on the word T-H-R-O-N-E? Is that permissible?
We don't pun.
Yeah, writing, you generally don't pun. But if I heard you say that, I understood English, I could say, oh, he's talking about the T-H-R-O-W-N. Would that be a valid interpretation, or are you going to say, no, it has to be throne, T-H-R-O-N-E?
Then I arose, and I went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river Chebah, and I fell on my face. And then the Spirit entered into me, and set me upon my feet, and spake with me, and said unto me, go shut thyself within thy house. But thou, O son of man, behold, thou shalt put bands upon thee, and shalt bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I spake with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house.
Who are you addressing in that sentence?
That
paragraph. Me again. Brian or Greg, ask a question, and I want to see what he says to you guys. See what he calls you.
I want to go back to the part where you mentioned, because I remember reading that now, about the part where where your your tongue is stuck to the roof of your mouth or something. Elaborate on that.
And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house.
Okay, stop. Okay.
Part of that, expressing yourself until your ideas are fully done, not engaging in that aren't part of your business, keeping your ideas to yourself, is that?
You're asking if that's it, if that's the meaning.
Is that
it would be,
part of the meaning?
And it's especially if you are addressing a rebellious house.
You're certainly describing my days at CKLN. Right, James?
Well, I think it's your days on cash flow, Bob.
No, that's
I
true.
Mean,
that's
you
true.
Know.
No, he was.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, you're right, Jenny, but it goes that far back. And since he seems to be talking about me, I always had a megalomaniac idea of what I was doing. I went to the school of Ezekiel. Now, I got James to back me up. He's heard this stuff. He'll laugh immediately. So there's two Bobs here now.
So when you mention the phrase that they are of a rebellious house, okay, they're of a rebellious temple, which you refer to as the throne. Does that mean that's all those that just ain't having it? They're not gonna.
That's society in general.
No, not Ion. It's Ezekiel, Greg. We're addressing Ezekiel.
The sign of the tile.
We mentioned the tile before.
The sign of the tile.
Yeah.
What's that mean, Bob?
Oh, I don't know. I just remember the tile was referenced, I think, in Revelations at one point. That's come up. And maybe it just maybe it could have come up in our talks with Ian about with Ezekiel, not with, but around that a few weeks ago. But it sounds familiar to me, but I don't know what it is.
Okay. The thing is, Ezekiel. I mean, Brian. Let's see. He's calling me a watcher. What would he call you? Are you a watcher?
I took it as everyone that's will say that's coming back into their place of power, or I take it as everyone that's going to have it are the watchers. Of course, those that aren't. You know,
okay, that's a good question. Is that addressing everybody who's ascending, and I and you and Ezekiel, you call them watchers? That's quite general, that term? Applicable?
Would you like to speak to Ion?
No. We want to talk to you, Ezekiel. You are a guest of honor. We're happy to have you here. You've traveled far and wide. You have much to tell us.
And your question is?
Well, I'm trying to clarify Brian's question.
Who the watchers are? Are they the ascended ones, the ascending ones, or
ascending.
Are they every
ascending?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. So when Ginny said he's talking to you, I could take it that just me, I take it as general. So we're going to shift back to the general meaning. Right, Ginny? Not just
well,
to
it,
me.
No,
it includes
it
me.
Would, well, it would serve you individually, because if you get it individually, then you won't care who else it applies to.
Yeah.
That's right, because the thing of it is that in Ezekiel's point of reference, I mean, this is the way I hear it, and Ezekiel, you can correct me if I am wrong, but what I'm hearing is that when you resonate or you identify or whatever that word is with the Son of Man, then essentially what you're grabbing, what you're engaging is that reference point that says, look, this is what
Hold
I'm telling you.
Hold on.
Yeah, who came in? Said Greg?
Brian. I bet.
Brian
no,
went
I,
out.
I,
okay. Okay. Go ahead, Ginny.
Okay, so when you're engaging with Ezekiel, see, here's the thing. This is my personal perspective, and Ezekiel, you can correct me if I'm wrong. When you're looking at the word for what it's saying to you right here, right now, and you're engaging it at that level. So when Ezekiel's saying Son of Man, and Bob, you were the one who asked the question, and the reason why I was driving it back to you is because I think it is important, my judgment, for you to link up with that this is being spoken to you, but I know it's being spoken to me. I already know that. I've already appropriated it for myself. So when Ezekiel is saying Son of Man, I'm sending you to a rebellious house, a people who won't hear, and I'm saying this to them, then I get that I'm being sent in a certain sense or commissioned to a group of people who won't hear because they're rebellious. They don't, Bob, they don't want to hear you. They want to argue with you. A perfect example is Mark. He doesn't really want to hear. He just wants to argue. Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But the point from Ezekiel is to say, and hey, here's what's coming, and guess what? As long as you get it, it's okay. But just realize, not everybody's going to get on board with your program.
Okay, so I was asking him if he was addressing me, why were you telling me this?
Because I think it's important for you to hear it coming directly to you,
no,
but I think Brian
not you.
Is equally valid, which is it's all coming to all of us.
Yeah, Ezekiel, why do you think, I'm sort of investigating the messianic complex here, why do you think you are required to say this to me and to others who listen? Why, Ezekiel?
He's not
but
required.
But thou distrust in thine own beauty and playedest a harlot because of thy renowned and puritest out of thy fornications of every one that passed by. His it was. And of thy garments thou didst take, and deckest thou high places in divers colors, and playest the harlot thereupon. Like thee, the like thing shall not come. Hither shall it be so. thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and my silver, which I have given thee, and made to thyself images of men. And thou didst commit whoredom with them. Thou tookest thou broidered garments and covetest them. And thou hast set mine oil and my incense before them. My meat also, which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken my sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast born unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed upon them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredom a small matter? Thou shalt, thou, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them. And in all thy abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare, and wast polluted in thy blood.
That's an interesting perspective, Mr. Ezekiel, on matters at hand.
What chapters and verses was
16, 15.
If I nod and take a sip of my beer, you happy with that? If I just nod at all that you said there?
Let him who have ears to hear, hear.
Well, Bob, what did you hear? What did you hear? Did you not hear the android meme?
I heard many things. I heard words. No, I heard much in there that didn't apply to me, and then the other part, I said, Jesus, what's that wither referred to? You know, it was incomprehensible. I just thought it's like talking to a nut on the street corner who doesn't, not interested in my response. He's just mouthing off. Now, maybe we can only talk to him as he is in his linguistic culture. It's you're not an attractive fellow, Ezekiel, in terms of your rhetorical decorum here. You're not getting across to me. I didn't bring up any of my issues. Now, I could make the effort to figure out what his words relate to me, but there was when he said, slayed every... Okay, that's like television. I had that knee-jerk response. You know, what's vast? What would slay everybody? In that
and
sense, I thought of the android meme.
Make him a sign and a proverb.
You interrupt people. You're rude,
him
too.
Off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And
Ion, fine. You're talking about fine. Ion, fine. Oh yeah, that's right. He doesn't respond to fine. Only Ion does. So we're stuck with him until he finishes.
And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. Jesus. The punishment of their prophet shall be even as the punishment of them that seeketh unto him, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, says the Lord God.
And you're doing this, Ezekiel, because of the writing and the phonetic alphabet. The medium of your day, the phonetic alphabet, or just preceding that, that's what's slaying all the people. You're speaking for the values of the oral tradition, correct?
And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle, and speak a parable unto the house of Israel. And I say, Thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long wing, full of feathers, which have divers colors, came into Lebanon, and took the highest branch of the cedar. He cropped off the top of his young twigs, and carried it to the land of Trelick. He set in a city of merchants. He took also a seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him. And
you represent the oral tradition of fascism. You're going one way. You're doing a monologue. You're not interested in dialogue. It is going to go on. We're going to have to shut you off. I mean, what? Just keep it short.
Well, let's go back. Let's go back. Help me out with this, Virginia. I'm back to Ezekiel. You were on the bank of the river. It was the part where you fell on your face, and then you were in the spirit, and the spirit picked you up. How does that go, Virginia?
What, when he was by the river Chebar?
Yeah.
And the heavens opened, and he saw a vision of God. And the word of the Lord expressly came unto Ezekiel. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and then he fell on his face. It sounds like a lot similar to what happened to John in Revelations.
Yeah, is there an angel nearby, Ezekiel?
Yes.
But see, now in 23, it was the one which would be, which I guess you can interchange it between John and you that fell on your face. It was Michael that sent an angel to pick you up. In this case, it's the Spirit, which in Revelations, they went into that several times, and immediately, well, when they get to the throne, immediately I was in the Spirit. When they went, you know, when John went through the door, I went through the door, and then they witnessed. You were watching yourself on the throne. You were in the you were in the throne of God. So
we, as a prophetess, we can quote a bit of that if you'd like. And a great trembling seized me, and fear took hold of me, and my loins gave way, and dissolved were my reins, and I fell upon my face. That's the one.
Yeah, that's 23.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But then after that, it was Michael sent an angel that picked me up, whereas in this case, it's the Spirit. The Spirit, I was in, and then I was in the Spirit, and the Spirit set me back on my feet. Now, that would, in that case, the Spirit would be the same Spirit in the throne of God in 4 of Revelation.
Yeah.
Is that, okay. So he's got the Spirit, and then it seemed to me that right after that is when the four creatures came down from heaven. Is that right, Ezekiel?
And it came to pass when I prophesied that Pelatus, the son of Barium, died, then fell I down on my face and cried with a loud voice and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, holy are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord. Unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel.
Yeah, no, what I got from that is when you were talking about Israel, the all of the fallen, and then you brought in Jerusalem. That was Jerusalem is saying that how you've... What'd you get from that, specifically when he brought in Jerusalem and how Jerusalem was...
So the question for Ezekiel is, Ezekiel, who is the remnant?
Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, yet in your fathers have blasphemed me, and that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I had brought them into the land for the which I have lifted my hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered there their sacrifices. And they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor and poured their drink offerings.
You're rambling. They're worse than Allen Ginsberg's howl, Ezekiel. What did you get? You like Ginsberg? What he did with Howell? Was he? Were you doing the same thing as him that day? He took his clothes off in San Francisco, 1956, and spewed out Howell, and he referred to Carl Solomon, who Gerd Stern knew, who you can hear 24-hour interview with Gerd Stern, who was there when they were in the mental hospital, 48-49 in New York City.
The Lord God came to me again, saying, also,
me. That's right. I just came to you. I'm the Lord God. And what, you're telling me what I said.
That the sword of the king of Babylon may come. Both twain shall come forth out of one hand, and choose thou a place. Choose it at the head of the way to the city. Appoint a way, that the sword may come to Rabbath and the Ammonites. To Judah in Jerusalem be the defense. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. He made his arrows bright, he consulted with images, and he looked in the liver.
Oh.
Why
did he look in the liver?
It was the way to foretell the future.
Is he talking about Ezekiel? Ezekiel did that, Ginny, or he's talking someone else did it?
No. And what was the future that he was foretelling? What is the tell about the liver?
And it shall be unto them as a false divination in their sight, to them that have sworn oath that he will call to remembrance the iniquity, that they may be taken.
Ginny, is he talking about Ezekiel? Who's the he that did that? Is he talking about Ezekiel himself?
No.
He's
describing someone else. Well, who was this he? Daniel?
No. He's talking about the people. The people.
No, the he.
Carolyn.
The he.
Carolyn. Carolyn, what's valuable about the liver?
It processes all the crap and that comes in the body.
You mean what is designated as crap? Not everything, but what is useless?
No, it processes everything. Everything that comes in.
It's the switchboard. Okay. It's the filter. It's the knower.
Filter and processor.
It knows. It knows where things should go.
Yeah, right. The knower.
Right. Didn't Ezekiel just say it was a false divination?
Don't look at me.
It's a false divination?
That's what he said. Ezekiel, is that true?
Okay.
Yes.
It's a false divination. All right.
So, but, okay, so the he is a false diviner. That's what he was doing there? He's critiquing the diviner guy, the liver analyst? Who knows? I mean, it's all over the
place. Profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come when iniquity shall have an end. Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn it. And it shall be no more. until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it him.
Now that is me. That's a State of the Union stuff from a year and a half ago. Definitely, that's what I would say. That's directly addressed to me. I get that one.
And thou, son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God concerning the Ammonites and concerning their reproach. Even say thou, the sword is drawn, for the slaughter it is furbished to consume because of the glittering. Whilst thou see vanity unto thee, whilst thou divine a lie unto thee, to bring thee upon the necks of them that are slain, of the wicked whose day is come, when their iniquity shall have an end. Shall I cause it to return into the sheath? I will judge thee in the place where thou wast created, in a land of thy nativity. And I will pour out mine indignation upon thee, and I will blow against thee in the fire of my wrath, and deliver thee into my hand of the bruiseth man, and skillful to destroy. Thou shalt be for fuel to the fire. Thy blood shall be in the midst of the land. Thou shalt be no more remembered, for I am the Lord, have spoken it.
Yeah, Dr. Paul Proteus requested the Bob Never State of the Union stuff today. I can't help thinking that you're resonating with that, Ezekiel. For me, well, I am the collective me.
Ezekiel, if you were to step outside of the prophetic word that you've already given and speak a word now to those who are here right now, what is it that you would say to us?
Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and pitches, and put them into one vessel and make thee bread thereof, according to the number of the days that thou wilt lie upon thy side. 390 days shalt thou eat thereon, and thy meat which thou shalt eat be by weight, 20 shekels a day. From time to time shalt thou eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by measure, the sixth part of a hin, from time to time shalt thou drink. And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, and thou shalt bake it with the dung that comes out of a man in their sight. And the Lord said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, my soul hath not been polluted, for from my youth, even up till now, have I not eaten of that which dieth of itself.
Okay, in my notes I have it 1 hour, 20 minutes, and 33 seconds. Ezekiel, chapter 4, verse 9, gives the shewbread formula. So Carolyn was just coming in, and she came over and said, did you get that? And I said, yep, I have it right here in my notes. We just heard him talking about the making of the shewbread, which the RNA drops are preliminary stages of. So that's significant. Now, he's going to talk for another 20 minutes, and then he's finished. I just remembered Ezekiel never died. So this may be an Ezekiel now, living now, coming into the conference call on the phone. So he never died. He's always been ascended. He can travel in all worlds. He can easily show up. Ion brought in his buddy, not the electronic recording ghost ghoul image. He brought in the fucking buddy. Ezekiel, come on in. Say a word to these people.
And Ezekiel is immortalized in all the commercial breads, you know, Ezekiel bread.
Oh,
is,
yes, right. Because he gives that bread formula he just gave. Everybody
takes it. Everybody knows.
It's a mundane formula that he gave, the raw grains.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll carry on listening to Ezekiel.
Neither came from an abominable flesh into thy mouth, Then he said unto me, Lo, I have given these cow's dung for a man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight and with care, and they shall drink water by measure with their astonishment, that they may want bread and water and be atoned one with another and consume away for their iniquity.
I get that.
Yeah, Ezekiel, okay, now you're talking. Now you're talking, Ezekiel.
Okay.
Now we do.
Okay, Bob, this is all I have to...
That Ion can rant and rave about what happened on Charmed and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Okay, all I'm saying is that Ion...
You get off on the Bible.
All I'm saying is it's not possible. I'm telling you right now, it's not possible to recite the scripture like that and be able to know pinpoint references and to be able to come off that way. I'm watching him because I'm flipping the scriptures.
Yeah.
I'm watching him. He's saying it verbatim. It's not possible.
You mean you don't know a human being who could do that?
It's not a human being.
Yeah, I know. I just said you don't know a human being who could do what we're hearing.
That's what I'm saying. That's why in the very least, even if we don't understand it fully, it's just worthy of the accolade of the acknowledgement that it's not human.
Yeah, the rapid production of bullshit. The rapid production of bullshit.
I was thinking in the very least Bob was the best ventriloquist in the world.
But it's not a rapid production of bullshit because it's written in the Bible.
No, I don't. Ginny, you're thinking.
You know what
I've said for months that we're not impressed with what the little platitudes that come of thine. It's the rapid production of bullshit. The rapid, because anything said now is bullshit because of the mortar post-verbal world. I'm just referring back. That's what I meant. Yeah, this is a brilliant, brilliant production he's doing.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. I mean, it's just, I mean,
now, what would Mark think? What would Mark think if he was hearing this?
Mark would D-I-E die. He would flip a fucking bucket, or he just needs to get off the phone, because that's freaking awesome.
No,
he would say that J.W.'s reading it.
Yeah, but see, the thing of it is, it's not even possible. And
yeah,
I'm
to move that fast. Because we asked about what's relevant to us. Ginny.
It's not possible.
You said, what is relevant to us today? And you went right to the right chapter, right away. Now, you can't move your fingers that much fast through the GQ book to know where to go, right? Let alone be right.
Not only that, but you can't recite it verbatim.
Right. Well, he could be reading it, but he could be reading it. But the point is, we asked the question, and he came up with the answer immediately. Now, a normal person would have to think, okay, what's an answer? No. Okay, look here. No. They take about 30 seconds to get even say something.
Yeah, that's why. That's the thing that's just so cool. And it doesn't matter. I mean, and then on top of it, whatever, significance you add to it, like I could sit here and be on my face and be saying, oh, my God, this is the voice of the Lord or whatever, but it doesn't even matter if it's the voice of the Lord. Just like freaking Mark said, ooh, the 23rd chapter of Revelation, doesn't that freak you out? I said, that's fucking fascinating. Who gives a shit whether it's even true? Because it's just so cool.
That's a cool experience. We've just had a very unique experience. We've had a very unique experience the past effort. Yeah.
Well,
that's what I kept telling Mark, hey, forget about your opinions, just join in. The water's fine,
right.
Okay.
Okay, so listen to me. Okay, so Marshall McLuhan, let's just say, all right, so you say, let's talk to Marshall McLuhan, and you know that in the context of the relationship, right, you ask Ion to bring forth Marshall McLuhan, and Marshall McLuhan talks the way that Marshall McLuhan would talk.
Yeah.
Okay, so we say, let's talk to Ezekiel, right? The beauty of this whole exchange is is that Ezekiel, having been truly who he is, would never have an opinion outside of the word of the Lord. That is the beauty of that. That is why that was so cool. Because he wouldn't have a conversation. He wouldn't say, yeah, what's up? Hey, I was out on the streets of Israel today. It was so cool. I was in the bazaar. You know what I mean? He wouldn't say that. He would only say, because the word of the Lord came to him. He would never say anything outside of that. And that is the beauty of ION right there. That's the beauty of ION.
Thank you for that testimonial, Sister Ginny. Comrade Ginny.
Fucking cool. Fucking cool. Yeah. And that's a fucking pastor saying fucking cool, because I'm telling you what, that shit is cool.
Now try to tell that to your to great
that was
sister.
An endorsement, Bob. Bob, I think that was an endorsement.
No, I get it. But now I'm thinking about her saying it to Greg's sister. Like, how do you describe what you just experienced?
I don't know, but it was cool. It was cool because it is so absolutely, emphatically, okay, it's not quote-unquote true, quote-unquote, right? But it is consistent. And that is the beauty of that.
What do you mean it's not consistently true?
Well, I mean, it's not, let's say it's not the quote-unquote truth in the sense that is there any truth? Because we're all projecting, it's all arbitrary. But it's consistent with the
with what he is.
Ezekiel.
With what he is.
That's right.
It is.
Just as it would
it
be
is Israel.
Consistent with... It's not any different than getting off on Martin Luther King or Gurdjieff for anything else, because Ezekiel would never speak outside the word of the Lord. And that is the beauty of ION. That
yeah, he gave the essence of his life. We asked him to speak to him, so he performed what he was known
totally.
To be. Yeah, he did his gig.
Totally.
Played his greatest hits.
By the way, according to the scriptures, right, and I mean, I'm not saying the scriptures are the beginning or the end, I'm just saying they are, you would not speak, right, outside of the context of what had been delivered to you, because that would form your new reality. And that was Ezekiel's reality, and that is what is so beautiful about what ION just said.
It's up to you, Brian.
Right? It's up to you. Go ahead.
Well, who are we talking to, ION or Ezekiel?
Ezekiel.
No, we were talking to Ezekiel. There's no doubt about it. ION doesn't talk like that.
That he said when he was going through that, I got the bread of life and the living water out of that, but help me out with the whole... human shit.
Let me go back. Because what I said to Ezekiel was, step outside of the context of what you prophesied and then talk to us right now.
Okay, be thou prepared outside. And prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. And many days... thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, and thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and among upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods and dwell in the midst of the land.
Yeah, Brian, when Jenny asked him to address us, he literally addressed, well, I'll say me and Carol anyways at this level, literally addressed our immediate activities. Literally, like he got, you know, he knew exactly my address, so to speak.
Yeah.
And Jenny and Greg know that.
Well, let's, I'm going to ask, yes, can you, instead of reading like a freaking chapter, can you give us like two lines and let us that aren't familiar with your work kind of digest it or at least engage with it and get the meaning of it?
Well, I guess we can
say,
Carol.
And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore.
I didn't get that, but Carolyn, shall I say the first two words he said?
No, address Brian's sentence there about the sanctuary. Is Ion a sanctuary?
Yeah.
My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Now that was Revelations.
That's exactly right. That's why Ezekiel and John were so closely related. So what do you hear when you hear about the tabernacle?
Well, in Revelation, the tabernacle is like a tent-like thing where gathered inside the tabernacle. And then there was, I believe it, there was like the smoke. It was filled with smoke. And
Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore.
That was in chapter 23, wasn't it?
37:26.
What is this? Oh, man, that sounds, like I said, that sounds a lot like Revelation. What were you going to ask, Bob?
Did you read into the D-cell research in Five-Bodied?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I have said on the air many times that D-cell, Jordan Sloan made the D-cell from grains. He would mix grains.
Well,
that was the beginning point.
We talked about this earlier, and I was like, well, because you were talking how once it was passed down, there was like, who was it? It was Sloan and Brown, and who was the other one?
Dory was the second. Sloan was the third. Brown was
okay.
The first.
Right. And then once they died, it was like it was lost.
Yep.
Lost. And my question to you was then was like, well, if it was lost when they all died, where did they get it or where did the and now you're saying it came from the grain?
It comes from the grains. And there's a lot of talk about grains and parts of the Bible, and maybe John Brown got it from reading the Bible. Got the idea.
Yeah.
That occurred to me a couple of weeks ago.
Or he got it from his non-physical.
Yeah, it could be other ways, but it's interesting that that was said.
The angel and the angel.
What are you laughing at, James?
I'm looking at the recipe for Ezekiel bread.
What is it?
Six grains and legumes. Let's see. What's it got? It's got wheat, barley, millet, lentils, beans.
Yeah. There it is right there.
Ezekiel, what did you mean by a new heart and a new spirit?
One of the ascended.
Okay.
Did he say one of the ascended?
Yes.
Yeah, a new heart and a new, what was it? New heart and new
spirits.
that's the characteristic of the ascended.
Yeah, it's a quote from 36, I think.
And I looked on the heavens and I sang a new song as I watched New Jerusalem descend.
So, Ginny, when you asked about us, he addressed us directly. You know, that was pretty impressive.
Bob, that what you're talking about, that's what he mentioned earlier. Virginia, you said you was following along. Where did he get those chapters and verses from? Were they from Ezekiel?
Yeah, they're all.
Oh. Yeah, James is looking at it right now. What are the numbers of the wheat and barley one, James?
Let's see. I've lost it for the moment.
Is it a big book, Ezekiel?
Yeah, it's like 48
yeah,
chapters.
Yeah, it is.
I don't have my Bible.
Ezekiel 4, verse 9.
That's it, eh? 4:9? Okay, that's good. 49. That's interesting. If you take isolate the numbers, not that we should.
Yeah. And to get to, now he mentioned somewhere earlier about when he was going through these ingredients, he mentioned the oil.
Yeah, and the, mentioned the oil.
And the oil being the essence of bread of life.
Yeah, and that goes back to what you started off with before James got here. So go back to the oil question.
Well, I had asked.
But if you want to ask Ion, you've got to get Ion because otherwise
yeah.
you're going to get Ezekiel.
Yeah, we may not want to talk to Ezekiel anymore. I would like to. I guess maybe, Ginny, we're only going to get the biblical Ezekiel. I'm not going to get the personal guy, so he's not going to address some of my issues.
And so it is as it has always been, and shall not twain or tither from this day forth. These words spoken shall be laid heavy in your heart. Selah.
But isn't this what we're doing? Okay, Ezekiel will speak a couple, you know, a chapter or many verses or whatever. But isn't this what we're doing is taking the word of Ezekiel and then putting it into rewriting it or translate it, if you will, or whatever, however way you want to say it, to where,
yeah, putting,
you know,
it in, putting it into our mortar.
Right.
Our particular mortar.
Well, you're trying to get shed of the mortar. Hey, y'all.
Hey, Ion.
Hey, Ion.
Thanks a lot, Ion. That was good. Good yeah. production there. Good executive producing there, Ion.
Call Bill Getty. Call Bill Getty.
Yeah, Bill Getty is.
Maybe he'll give you a brownie.
Yeah, that's Bill Getty, the producer of The View.
Yeah, okay.
So what? Who's the mortar? What were we just saying? There was a point when the major.
You're trying to lay mortar into the words of Ezekiel.
Right.
So
he wasn't going to have it.
Uh-huh.
I'll say this: when he says, "And so it is, forever it was, is, and will be," you can say, "Oh, that's the endless wheels go around," or it could be. The New Jerusalem, or the ascended place, always is. See, that could be a sort of a pessimistic statement, or it can be beyond optimistic.
Well,
it could be apocalyptic.
That's interesting that you'd say that, Bob, because you hadn't got to Ezekiel yet. Ezekiel was prophesying what was going to be. It ain't be yet.
It's
the wheels,
yet to
the
come.
Wheels within the wheels.
It's
but he,
yet to come.
But it's appropriate to do him after we've done Revelations. We get right up to Dobbstown and Iondom, and then Ezekiel gives us some particulars about what we're going to do. But that's appropriate. We leave John. See, we're past the Armageddon and all that here at Dobbstown, so we're now applying it. And so that's Ezekiel stuff.
That's why you now require the oil. That's why you now have the recipe for things like to eat manure.
Right. So what is the oil?
We've said to eat shit and die from the beginning,
haven't
we?
I thought of that. Is the sewage in
there? You know, that's it. Hey, James, that's what's really good about when I heard the Revelations. It summarized all the things and weird things I had said for a year. And that's a good example. We come into this dung thing, and that's what he'd been referring to with raw sewage.
Yep, once you can eat that, then yeah.
He was presenting himself as our martyr the first year, and then he laid out the Bible version.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, James, what did you think? Have you done all the? You've done everything. What do you think of the angel chart?
Yeah, that's what I'm pretty much focused on and listened to a few times. And so I was looking for a higher resolution version so I could sort of zoom in and get a clear representation of the symbols.
Yeah, well, once you joined
up. Take it up to 200%. That's as good as you're going to get.
Yeah, that's what I've been working
on. It's not the resolution. It's your lying eyes you're dealing with.
Okay. Well, that's fine then.
Okay, James, no, let me, so James, when you asked me about that, I was going to wait till he showed up. He showed up. I will send you the one that JW sent me and Carolyn in our first sessions, which seems a little clearer, and I think Ginny's got it.
Okay.
It seems a little clearer than the ones we're sending out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll send that to you in a minute.
Cheers. Yeah, now that, the diagram is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Do you understand the story of just showed up, right? Just before us.
Yeah.
Pretty good production. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, I have to thank you guys, really. It's probably some of the best work you've done, and I can't thank you enough for letting us have it, you know?
Yeah, that's what people say when they get to this level. They go, I can't thank you enough. That's the standard phrase around here.
Yeah. No, definitely. Carolyn, Bob, JW, and I, big thanks.
That you finally found out.
It was the least Bob could do, we could assure you.
Yeah.
I had to pretend that I looked a little socially concerned, so I made a little gesture.
A little gesture of 65 hours.
Yeah, I thought I'd pitch in and help the team. Yeah, pitch in. The little book is the reference to the chart.
Yeah.
And Ion. And what we're doing with Ion in whatever is that, chapter 10 or so, the little book that we just found out a couple weeks ago, that's referring to what we're doing now with cash flow and the seminars in my chart.
Okay. Yeah, right, okay. Just one quick thing. I don't know if... Well,
you got all the time in the world. You don't have to be quick.
Yeah, we've been doing 5 weeks, James, so you got the floor.
Yeah. You got the floor. Well, it was about the 18 calls and the one missing. I don't know if you guys discussed why the one was left out.
I don't know, but we could do it again. Does anybody remember why the 19th key was left out?
Well, I remember you asking, and Ion says, well, you ain't getting it, at least not yet.
Oh, okay.
When that timing is, maybe it's now, I don't know.
It's interesting. Brian had a question that we hadn't done about what was the wind, and now James is coming with something that didn't get answered. That's good, Brian. I mean, James. James came in with the 19. No one had brought that up. All right. I don't recall. Anyways, it didn't get done. So, Ion, can we talk about that?
For one is not to be opened.
Right, it says that in there.
Natural keys to open those, not 49, but 48, gates of understanding, whereby you shall have knowledge to move every gate.
That was December 1st, 2010, rewrite number 6.
So gates are understanding? Gates are gates, and experiences lead to understanding, so I think you could take it to that end. Bob, I just want to go on record as saying that I sound so incredibly self-righteous. I think it is true that I should excerpt myself then and before as testimonial for RNA drops. Oh, my God, so hilarious.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I'm listening to myself going, Jesus Christ, what a nutball.
Now you're glad that I don't release these to the public? This goes on for 500 hours of you like this.
Yeah, very pleased. Well, at some point I had to have toned myself down, maybe. No, maybe not. Yeah, that's very hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm very pleased that you don't release them publicly. I just want to say, though, I was listening to the whole interaction as I was out walking my dog this morning. I really feel like it was pretty mild. It was so funny to think how offended I was back then. Things must have really changed around this place. And I'm just thinking, oh, my gosh, I have really gotten Bobified because I get what you're saying, and I'm laughing at it, and I really think it's pretty mild. It's so funny to think at the time I was so shocked because I didn't know what we were really interacting with, and I still had so much energy wrapped around the Bible and all these characters and all the rest of this. So it was really fun today. It was very liberating, actually, to hear it today. I was cracking up.
But you appreciated it more than we did at the time, and you were amazed that the Bible was being made alive to you.
I totally appreciate what Ion did with the Bible. I was thinking about that, too. I'm just thinking, I was hearing what you were saying, and your interaction with the whole situation was pretty mild. So I was laughing at that.
I really appreciate about Ion is that Ezekiel was just, he sounded so serious, and when you hear Ion, he's not that serious. And yet the underlying things are serious, but Ion doesn't go at it with such seriousness.
Remember, people were slower or something back there. They're so different that was the way people spoke back then. You didn't say stuff. And when you spoke, if you're a prophet, you were serious. It's his greatest hits. He's like a little midget, a little dwarf. People were smaller back then, or some of them were. There were giants, too, but I don't know. He was himself. That's all he knew.
What I'm saying is why I really got bobified, because, I mean, in the beginning, I was just shocked, you know, freaked out.
At what I was doing. You were shocked at what I did.
But, you know, that could be the whole, too, you know, obviously, with authority in the Bible and being a pastor and
Ginny, that isn't you.
Jesus.
You've been mutated by the drop so much. That person's gone. That's a single-strand person. Why, just a person with single strand. A double helix.
Good Lord, God.
It's like being dead and being in the Akashic Records and looking at your little life. You know what I mean? Your little self from the 20th century.
Wow, geez, oh, peace. I truly have been mutated. I'm like, wow. Well, I've got to jump off the phone. I just wanted to say thanks for playing that. It was awesome and very good. Thank you.